for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Every week, Steve will give us timely tips for caring for our plants. He'll answer your questions and give us expert advice. Now here's a walk through the garden with Steve Stone.
Good morning. It's a nice Saturday morning. Beautiful, I guess it's still springish. Supposed to be spring. It'll be summer. Going to feel summer today. How you doing, Steve?
Feel summerish, I think, today and tomorrow is what I've heard.
Yep. Yesterday was awesome. I was out helping with a tractor pull, and we were in the shade with a nice breeze, and it was really nice. but today is supposed to be a little more humidity, and so it'll be a little tougher out at the tractor pull, but that's still okay.
Well, it's pretty typical with the tractor pulls. You usually expect some heat and some humidity that kind of goes along with it.
Yeah, when we used to do them in July and August, it was brutal, and there wasn't much shade.
Yeah.
Now they have it set up where there's pretty good amount of shade at the gates where I'm helping them out, so it works out. So what are you talking about today, Steve?
Well, lots to get to today, like normal. One of the issues that I deal with consistently year in and year out would be issues with bagworms, and bagworms are
worms with bags.
And they're a common pest. They've kind of migrated. They were a pest that you saw more in the South. When I say South, like Tennessee, Kentucky, and then down into Georgia. But they are kind of slowly easing their way northwards.
It's the global warming. We're getting warmer in the North, so they're moving on up.
I'm sure moving on up.
Yeah.
I think there's a song like that.
There is a song like that. I don't have it right now, but so we won't play it.
But they can create an awful lot of angst and injury and damage in your landscaping. And if kind of, again, hard to explain on the radio, they produce at maturity in the fall, they produce a bag that they're sewn up inside with silk that they produce, like a spider silk. And it usually kind of looks like a pine cone. If you're not, you normally see them on evergreens, but they will attack at like 150 different types of plants, and a lot of them are deciduous. The one thing that's the one thing that's better about deciduous is the deciduous plants can tolerate losing 10, 20, 30% of their foliage, and it's still going to survive and thrive and do perfectly fine with these bagworms feeding on the foliage. When you run into issues is when you have evergreens like arborvitae, spruce, pines, junipers that will get heavily infested with the bagworms, because they will devour so much of the foliage that the plant ends up untreated will certainly die. And it's not something that normally happens in one season. It's usually left untreated over a season or two or possibly three. And if you're out, mowing, walking through the yard, it should be pretty obvious when you see the damage start, because these, again, they're like teardrop shaped, and they're tied to the branches and they hang down off the branches. But these bags are pretty distinctly noticeable, and if you don't notice the branches, you may, or the bags, you may certainly notice the branches going, completely bare of foliage, because they're going to be devouring and eating the foliage that's on the.
How big is the
insect
cocoon thing that they?
The cocoon thing that they produce is probably, I'd say, between an inch and maybe upwards of inch and a half long.
Okay.
So they're again knitted together with the silk that the insect produces, but they're always knitted together with foliage from the plant. So if it's a spruce tree, you'll see lots of spruce needles kind of knitted into it. If it's a juniper, arborvitae, hemlock, they use the foliage to create that cocoon, and they have hatched. People are always concerned about treating them, it seems, in the late fall when they're highly noticeable, the bags are, but in late fall they've already caused all the damage they're going to cause, and they knit themselves inside that bag, and getting insecticide to them is literally impossible. The only thing you can do at that point is actually physically remove the bags, pull them off the branches, and then burn them or stomp on them or something to get rid of them. You just simply, once they've stopped feeding for the season and they've knitted that bag shut, there's, you know, again, I don't care how much insecticide you spray on them, you're not going to kill the insect. The females produce the bags and will overwinter in the bags, and each one of those bags, if you have seen them on your plants, each one of those bags can have between 500 and 1,000 eggs in each one. So it doesn't take very long for the population to just explode, and then again, you're going to have a tremendous amount of damage. And people ask, being that they're ugly little, you know, caterpillar looking critters, how they spread so rapidly. Well, one thing, each generation, again, each female will produce, you know, 500 to 1,000 new insects, so that's can spread pretty rapidly. Also, this time of year, they're first instar, so they're real little critters. They're approximately an eighth of an inch long at this point, and they will start feeding at this point. But also, they will, to spread from plant to plant, or yard to yard, or neighborhood to neighborhood, or even county to county, the little ones, after they are hatched, they will produce a long thread, and that thread is very easily picked up by the wind, and they can catch a breeze, and they can move again from one plant to another. They can move across the backyard, or if the wind's right, they could be moved for blocks or miles and then dropped into a new location. And if they're in a plant that they're, you know, happy to eat, they'll start feeding on them. So that's how they spread from, you know, all over. Again, an eighth of an inch at this point is obviously pretty small. Kind of looks like a little tiny, like a pine cone looking thing. They're like only an eighth of an inch long, and they're real kind of a light brown tan in color. And they're so tiny at this point, if they're on a spruce or a pine or an arborvita, the insects are so tiny they can't devour the whole needle. So what they do is they kind of nibble on the edges and down, up and down the needle itself, and it causes the needle to go off color. It turns brown, but it doesn't completely disappear. As the insects get larger and larger and larger, then they just completely ingest the whole everything, the whole needle. So then you're going to get huge bare spots. So again, it is something to be aware of. Again, it's something that can cause a tremendous amount of damage to your landscaping. And what's frustrating about it is very, 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 very easy to control this insect with a proper insecticide application. But this is the time of year to treat. They usually, I always tell everybody, they hatch around Memorial Day. So we're pretty close to being on track as far as the hatching, because the first instar is already hatched and starting to feed. So They're definitely kind of on time. But another thing too is, not all eggs are going to hatch at the same time. So they may be hatching for the next, you know, 2 to 3 weeks until this last generation is all you know, come out of their shells, so to speak, or comes out of their bag, so to speak. So timing of an application is hugely important. If you've seen issues in the past with, again, spruces, pines, whatever, it's definitely worthwhile and worth your time and effort to do an application, because, again, they're very easy to control when they're little tiny critters. The bigger they get, the more damage they cause. The bigger they get, they're still easy to control if you time your application right. But basically, it's, again, between now and, I would say, August is going to be your best window for control. Once we get into late summer, again, they're pretty much adults at that point, and they start building that cocoon, which, again, can get quite large. And, again, even if it's not completely knitted shut, they spend all their time in that. They actually drag that thing around with them as they're feeding, and, again, it makes it more and more and more difficult to get the insecticide to the insect. So, I know that's just exciting news for a Saturday morning, isn't it?
Yes. So, the best treatment, is it something that needs to be done by a professional, or can they buy things at the hardware store or from you that they can do themselves, or is it just
there's a lot of over-the-counter products that are going to be labeled for, you know, bagworms. There's lots of different insecticides out there that are labeled. what you usually run into is if you're dealing with some smaller plants, that you can mix up the proper, you know, material, proper product, proper insecticide, and apply it. You can do it yourself. You're going to get, if you mix it correctly and apply it correctly, you're going to get great control. What sometimes you run into, especially with spruces, pines, and arborvitaes, is you're dealing with plants that may be, you know, 10-20 foot tall, and getting the product to the insect is a little bit more problematic. So you might have to hire a professional that's got better equipment that can treat, up into the plant, mm-hmm. Higher to get the proper control. But again, you know, be aware of it. If you do see them on your deciduous plants, the ones that lose their leaves, again, it is a problem. But again, it's very unlikely that particular insect has any potential of just outright killing that plant, because the physiology of a deciduous plant makes it a lot more difficult, even, like I said, with defoliation, that tree is still going to grow perfectly fine. So if you see a few on a flowering crab apple, yeah, it's a problem, but it's not going to kill the plant. But what you're again running into is if you don't treat it and it's on the deciduous plant and you get a bigger population season after season, they're eventually going to get into something, some of your evergreens, like I said, boxwoods, spruces, pines, something, and then they can wipe those things out relatively easily.
Yep.
I think we need to take a break.
Okay, yep.
We'll be back with more bugs.
Yeah, I don't like bugs, but I guess we have to talk to them.
I'm not real crazy about them either, but there are a lot of beneficials out there that we haven't been talking about the beneficials. Maybe we should talk about those sometime.
Yeah, sometime, yeah. Let's talk about Hull Brothers.
All right, perfect.
The versatile Kubota B-Series is a do-it-all tractor. Run powerful attachments that can be easily switched out. It features a hydrostatic transmission and is simple to maintain. The Kubota B-Series. It makes the hard work look easy. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
A new grill from a big warehouse is like trying to start your old grill. You can end up standing around by yourself and nothing happens. That's not what happens at Ace. Wengler Ace Hardware has an exclusive lineup of premium brands plus premium service from the people who know you best. We'll make sure you get the right grill, whether it's gas, wood pellet, or a flat top griddle. And better yet, we'll assemble and deliver it right to your patio. Don't forget, your newest grill is never far away, and neither is our help. That's why grilling starts at Ace. Stop by Wengler Ace Hardware in Fort Recovery, your grilling destination.
Looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions, as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Fort Recovery Friends of the Arts invites you to join us again this summer for another great lineup. We are bringing back many popular favorites from last summer and adding some exciting new acts as well. From a Journey tribute band to Neil Diamond and Toby Keith impersonators to classic country, oldies, and pop, we're sure there's something that will appeal to everyone in the family. Join us on Sunday evenings throughout the summer at Hine Amphitheater in Bantries Park at 7 p.m. For more information, pick up a brochure, find us on Facebook, or visit our website at Fort Recovery Friends of the Arts.com.
We're back on Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone, and we're talking about bugs.
Bugs.
I don't like bugs.
Again, just kind of touching on some things we talked about last week and the week prior. The river birches are showing certainly some indications of aphids creating some issues for them. The corrugated river birch aphid is causing some really bizarre looking foliage. It's not something that you're going to see, you know, throughout the whole plant. It's usually going to be specific areas, maybe at the ends of certain stems and branches that have the damage. Again, depending on the population, how many insects you're seeing, you may or may not want to treat. It's certainly not something that's going to kill the plant. Talked about burning bushes, and the burning bushes have a black aphid on them right now that are causing the leaves to cup curl and kind of get a little bit distorted. And with the insect feeding, you're going to have the honeydew all over everything, which is the syrupy looking clear liquid that is the frass of the insect. So still seeing a lot of damage from those particular insects. But again, I've got some aphids on my burning bushes at home, and actually after the kind of rainstorms that we had and the just a little bit of wind and all that actually kind of does a good job of kind of cleaning up those aphids, or can. And so I chose, again, because of time issues and all, I really didn't do any treating at all. And they're going to be, you know, they're going to be perfectly fine. So again, one thing with the warmer temperatures coming, seeing spider mites starting to create some issues. Spider mites are a really problematic insect in our area. They can get on a lot of different types of plants. They can get on deciduous plants. You'll find them in evergreens like spruces. You'll just see them on a lot of different plants. And the one thing that's really a lot more difficult with the spider mites is they're really tiny. Like, you almost need a hand lens to see them. So there's certain signs and symptoms that can tell you if it's a spider mite or not. But overall, again, they're just really tiny insects, and they're hard to see. But again, they can cause a tremendous amount of damage to your, again, pine, spruces, and then also they will sometimes get into different types of deciduous plants. And again, with a high enough population, you can get defoliation to the point where you're, a lot of times, like with spruces specifically, I don't want to say they, I guess over a long period of time, they can kill the plant. But what normally happens, the fact that they tend to feed on the old foliage, they feed on the inner needles of the plant. So what happens is all the old foliage will tend to go off color like a bright yellow, and then fall. So then you're left with a really thin plant, because again, they usually don't attack, well, they never attack the new foliage. And so again, what you end up with is you end up with a plant that you know, one year is really thick and dense and beautiful, and then the next year it looks really spindly and thin. So insecticide applications and spider mite issues, you know, go hand in hand, because they can cause a tremendous amount of damage, certainly shorten the life of the tree, and then make it nearly to the point it gets, the foliage gets so thin that it's so unsightly that you nearly, you know, a lot of people consider removing them at that point. So, you know, spider mites, again, are a lot more difficult usually for the homeowners to diagnose. One way to check on them, or again, because they're so tiny, is if you think you have an issue with spider mites, is just get a white sheet of paper. Like if you have a spruce tree, get a white sheet of paper and walk out to the spruce tree and put that white sheet of paper under the branch, and then hit that branch with your other hand, you know, 3 or 4 times pretty hard. And then if you pick the sheet of paper up that you're holding and kind of blow the needles off, because you're going to have lots of needles that are going to fall and hit that sheet of paper. If you look at the sheet of paper and you have a whole bunch of little black spots that move, That would
you're not having delusions.
You're not having delusions. It's probably spider mites. So again, they look like a dot from a a dot from a lead pencil on your paper. They're very tiny, but they'll start moving and scurrying about on that white sheet of paper. So again, at that point, they're unless your eyesight's really bad, they're relatively easy to see at that point. And if you see, you know, more than a few, then it's probably going to be wise to do a treatment. And I had mentioned, I think, in the past, aphids are really, really pretty easy to control with a lot of different types of insecticides, and you can wipe them out usually with you can knock out that population that's on your plant usually with one application, or knock it down to the point where you're in good shape. Unfortunately, that's not the case with spider mites. They're a lot more difficult to control, and I know I'd mentioned this last week, but I'll expound upon it a little bit today. They are a wretched little critter that will build a resistance up very, very quickly to an insecticide. So say you use this today, you use Malathion, and you probably will get pretty good control with that particular insecticide. And then next week, next month, you see the population emerge again, and you start seeing damage again. So you use the same insecticide. If you use the same one time in and time out, that population is going to very, very quickly become resistant to that insecticide. And so then you're spraying it, and at some point you're going to get zero control with that particular insecticide. So
even though it worked great the first time or two.
Correct. So you need to have at least three, potentially four different types of insecticides in your arsenal. And every time you treat, you want to use something different. And you really need to talk to me or talk to somebody that knows insecticides, because some insecticides have different names, but the active ingredient is the same. So this one's different than this one. No, well, if you look at the label, the active ingredient's actually the exact same.
The brand name is different, but the active ingredient is the same.
You need to pick different types of insecticides that have completely different modes of action on that particular insect. So again, you can keep them off guard, and you will get consistent and you can get good control. But again, if you use the same, the same product, the same mode of action, every time you're going to build up a super population that it's just completely resistant to what you're doing. So again, a little more complex in controlling those particular critters. And certainly you need to have a better, bigger arsenal if you're mixing and applying yourself to make sure you get good control. And again, if it gets beyond what you're comfortable doing, again, you can always give me a call and we can help you with the applications that are going to be necessary to get your plants looking better. We need to get to a break. And again, if anybody's listening, you get any calls, give us a holler here at the station. Yep.
If it's something that you kind of know about and just want Steve to share with other people, that's okay. If it's something you really do...
or if there's anything with the upcoming Buckeye football season, we'll touch on that as well.
And if it's just stuff that you don't know about and do want him to give you advice, but if there's things that you know that would be of interest to people, even if it's something you kind of are familiar with, give us a email here at FortRecoveryRadio.com or Outlook.com. Sorry,
can they call the Hastings hotline? Even if we're not talking about cars, can we call the Hastings hotline?
Yes.
And if Fee's not here, can we still use?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
But we're going to call it the Nature's Green Hotline.
There you go.
I
like that.
Yeah, it's going to be the Nature's Green Hotline on Saturday morning.
937-310-2781.
Yeah, if you're listening live or listening in the archives, we can sometimes you may have to leave us a message if I'm not here, and sometimes I don't have the icon up and the phone doesn't actually ring unless I have that up. So you can always leave us a voicemail or something. And,
absolutely.
Or email Steve at natureasgreen.com. Steve@naturesgreennursery.com.
Steve@naturesgreennursery.com.
Yep, I knew I was, had it wrong somewhere. Or FortRecoveryRadio@outlook.com, and we'll pass that along to him. So I'll be back in just a minute.
Hi, this is Steve Stone from Nature's Green, and if you need any or all the quality products to get started on your lawn and landscape this spring, we have it at Nature's Green. Soils, mulch, flowers, vegetable plants, seeds, trees, shrubs, perennials, insecticides, fungicides, you name it, we have it. But most of all, we have the knowledge and expertise that will help you get through any project. Stop out and see us at Nature's Green and load up on everything you need, or we can deliver it. Just call us at 419-375-2322. Nature's Green, your landscape's best friend.
Proudly serving the Fort Recovery area for over 23 years, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has the expertise to handle any dirt work you need. From installing waterways and building pads to demolition work and septic system installation, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has all the equipment you need to get the job done right. Does your driveway need some fresh gravel, or do you need some dirt hauled in? We can take care of all your hauling needs as well. Give Brian a call at 419-852-6655. Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage. Go Indians.
It's grilling season, and Wayne Street Market has everything you need for your cookout. Steaks, hamburgers, brats, hot dogs, it's all there at Wayne Street Market. Fresh vegetables, baked beans, potato salad, chips and dips, pop, beer, wine, it's all there. Stop in and stock up now so you're ready to go when you fire up the grill. Wayne Street Market, the best meat market around.
Wow. Pre-event 50-50 raffle tickets for the 2021 Win on the Wabash are on sale now. Tickets can be purchased online only at wowraffle.com. Sales end on August 20th, and the winner will be drawn on Thursday, August 26th. The pre-event 50-50 is just part of the many ways you can win at this year's Wow Raffle, to be held August 27th and 28th, 2021, at Ambassador Park in Fort Recovery.
We're back on Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone, and we've been talking about bugs. Is that where we're going on now?
No, it's time to get off that topic.
Good, thank you.
I've had enough. I don't know if you've had enough.
I had enough right at the beginning, so unless we're talking about snakes, I'm glad we're moving on.
We've been really lucky in that we had some nice showers blow through. I think I had just shy of an inch this last week. And a little cooler temperatures, which I really appreciated for the most part. And I know my Kentucky bluegrass lawn appreciated that as well. So the lawns are really looking good at this point, calling for some really hot weather this weekend, but that really shouldn't affect it. And then some nice showers, it looks like, or chances of thunder showers going into next week. So for the most part, we've had a really, really good spring as far as growing grass is concerned. I know I did a tremendous amount of seeding at my place, and it's really filling in actually better than I anticipated. Very few thin spots anymore, and things are really looking good. Like I had mentioned last week, you know, you just want to be careful. It's a great time to get your herbicide down if you've got a broadleaf herbicide application. Perfect time to do that. Not necessarily maybe today or tomorrow because of the heat and humidity they're calling for. But again, early in the day, late in the day is fine. Then again, into next week, I think they're calling for some warmer temperatures, but not and some showers blowing through, but not certainly as warm as it's going to be this weekend. So applications are fine. You want to time them again, so potentially we're not getting any rain immediately after the application. And that's if you're doing a liquid or having somebody do a liquid application for you. Now, if you're using a Scott's material, a Scott's product that's like a granular type of a material for weed control, you need the foliage to be wet. And so that would be a real early morning application when there's heavy dew on the grass, or potentially after a rain shower, you can apply that granular herbicide material. Again, Scott's produces a fine product. They're a local Ohio company here. Their main headquarters are in Marysville. So if you're going back and forth to Columbus, you can see their main headquarters right there off of 33, just on the other side of Marysville. A multi-billion dollar company. They've been around for a long time, and they have a very good reputation in the lawn care field and grass growing field, and they produce different types of fertilizers and herbicides and fungicides for commercial application as well as residential and homeowner type applications. Their granular material that they produce is usually pretty fine, which is really good in that their round two or their weed and feed application, those granulars are very, very fine. So you need, again, you need the foliage of the plant to be wet, and those little fine particles will stick to those leaves of, say, the dandelion or whatever, and it will release the herbicide. The plant will absorb that, and then, or the weed will absorb that and then die. And the obviously the fertilizer, again, will, you know, feed your turf. So it works fine for the most part. There are a couple issues with it. You can get very good control of specific types of weeds with a dry granular type of an application. Dandelions are usually pretty easy to control. Plantain is usually pretty easy to control. Specific weeds that are difficult to control, like clover and ground ivy, you're probably not going to have you're probably not completely satisfied. Those are a lot more difficult weeds to control, and usually you need some sort of a liquid broadcast type of an application to get really good control of really problematic weeds. So for the most part, it's going to, you know, I'd say, I'm guessing, you know, probably, and I hope Scott's isn't listening, probably reduce.
I think they are.
Oh, my goodness. probably reduce your weed population, I'm going to say by half, maybe more, maybe 60%. If you did a liquid application and did it properly and did a good liquid application, you're going to reduce weed population probably by 80 to maybe 90% if you do it correctly. So again, I don't think it works as well. I know it doesn't work as well, but it certainly works. It's very effective in controlling weeds. The other thing I'm not crazy about, and in the industry, nobody's overly crazy about the, again, the particle size for Scott's, for the herbicide is very tiny because, again, you want it to stick to the leaf. They also, the fertilizer that they manufacture and put in those bags also equally is a smaller, lighter piece or particle or whatever you want to call it. And so when you spread that through a rotary spreader, you have to keep your spacing at, it just doesn't throw as far. So you have to keep your rows that you're going up and down a lot closer together. When you're dealing with some of our companies that we deal with from a commercial fertilizer standpoint, the particles are bigger and they're heavier. And so basically you can throw like a 15 to maybe a 16 foot swath with this heavier fertilizer. When you're dealing with Scott's, you know, that might be 8 to 10. So, you know, if you're treating a yard and you're trying to make money treating a yard, the longer you stay on that lawn, you know, the less lawns you get done in a day. And so that's why Scott's is not hugely used in the commercial biz, because you don't, you can have fussy customers like Neil Spencer.
No, I'm not that fussy.
Yeah, I know he's not.
If you look very closely at my lawn, you will see that I'm not that fussy.
But a granular herbicide, again, is not going to keep a lot of people completely satisfied because you're not going to get fantastic control like you will with a liquid. And again, the particle size doesn't necessarily make that big a difference as far as the turf goes, but certainly, you know, you can double the amount of lawns you can get done in a day if you're you know, if you're walking at the same rate and the same distance and you're getting a 15-foot swath versus a 10 or 8-foot swath, you can get a lot more lawns done. So again, you know, that material is very good from Scott's. And there's, you know, I know I think Fort Recovery Hardware has a program that you can buy. I don't know what their brand name is, but they have a program where you can buy, you know, like a spring, summer, fall applications. You buy bags and then treat your lawn yourself, and that's perfectly fine. Timing is the key, you know, when you apply it. And wind, again, like we're talking about with granular, if the foliage of the grass and turf and weeds is wet or dry, that makes a huge difference. If you go out and apply it and there's no moisture in the ground and there's no moisture on the leaves of the weeds and you apply your weed and feed, you're going to be hugely disappointed with the results, because you're not going to get much.
Well, that doesn't sound like that's when the time to do that would be.
The fertilizer is going to be helpful. I mean, You're always going to get the benefits of the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, that the macro elements that are in the fertilizers. You're certainly going to reap benefits from that. But
you want to make sure it gets on the weeds when they're thirsty and they're drinking.
Well, exactly. And again,
mix it in with their morning coffee.
Right. Exactly. So I think we got a break. We'll be right back and wrap her up for this Saturday.
Hi, this is Steve Stone from Nature's Green. And if you need any or all the quality products to get started on your lawn and landscape this spring, we have it at Nature's Green. Soils, mulch, flowers, vegetable plants, seeds, trees, shrubs, perennials, insecticides, fungicides, you name it, we have it. But most of all, we have the knowledge and expertise that will help you get through any project. Stop out and see us at Nature's Green and load up on everything you need, or we can deliver it. Just call us at 419-375-2322. Nature's Green, your landscape's best friend.
Spending more time indoors? Perhaps it's time for a new wall color in your life. At Wangler Ace Hardware, we can make painting a simple pleasure. We carry a full line of quality Clark and Kensington paints available in any color you bring us. The Clark and Kensington paint and primer in one is a great value, starting at just $30.99 a gallon for interior flat finish. Friendly, knowledgeable folks will guide you through choosing paint, along with products for surface prep and application. Visit the paint studio at Wangler Ace Hardware in Fort Recovery for friendly expert advice on your fall paint project.
Hello, this is Connor Ramel, member of the Fort Recovery Friends of the Arts. Stop down at the Taste of the Town on June 16th, where the Friends of the Arts will once again be sponsoring free live music. The Sunburners will return to the Brick Street with their unique party band sound that we've all come to know and love. With the group's steel drums, great vocals, and island party vibe, you'll be sure to enjoy the Sunburners again this summer. For more information, please pick up a brochure. Visit our website at FortRecoveryFriendsOfTheArts.com or find us on Facebook.
We're back.
Still a good time this spring, early summer, to do any kind of planting that you'd like. If you've got a tree in mind or some landscaping, shrub, roses, whatever, good time to plant. Again, calling for some warmer temperatures this weekend. But if you water a couple, three times a week, you know, you're going to have good success moving and planting anything. If you haven't taking a look out at like Nature's Green, and there's a, you know, a lot of good garden centers around the area. You know, take a look at some of the neat things that are out there. Every season, it seems like there's something new, better varieties, more colorful varieties, better flowering, slow growing, different things that is inviting for people to upgrade or change and add to their landscaping. And then certainly, you know, planting trees is always a great idea for, you know, habitat for birds and also, you know, shade from the hot sun for us. So get out there and get your fingers dirty and get your hands dirty.
But make sure you wash them before you start eating.
Well, I think if you...
little kids eat dirt.
I think if you don't, I think that builds the immune system.
Yeah. So, but don't eat the dirt with the insecticides on.
Oh, no. You don't want to do that. That's for sure.
So we'll be back next week, and we'll
explore more bugs.
Explore more bugs again. I don't like bugs.
Maybe
we'll be okay with that.
Maybe we can. I mean, if we start getting some heat and humidity, you know what we'll be able to talk about? Diseases.
Oh, well.
plant diseases, Neil. Diseases.
Oh, well, okay.
We're not talking about any STDs or anything.
Well, or even, I don't even want to talk about this virus that was hanging around for a year. I want to talk about that disease either.
Yeah, I'm over that too. You're right.
I think everybody finally is. Even the president says we can do without masks in most places, so.
Oh,
and even Menards isn't making people wear masks anymore. So.
I never listened to him anyhow. So.
He's our president.
Him or Fauci. Never listened to either one of them.
Hmm. Well, DeWine says we can do stuff. And then DeWine's your friend because he's in Columbus.
No.
Okay.
Well, little short guy with the Napoleon complex. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I'm just saying he's our governor.
I would listen to more what Ryan Day has to say than what he has to say. What does that say about me? It may say I'm an idiot, but I don't care.
That just says you really, really like football.
I like Ryan
Day. OSU.
Ryan Day for governor.
Yep. I'm okay with that. Well, no, because then he'd have to not be the Buckeyes coach, probably.
That's
so
true.
We don't want to do that.
Yep.
So we will catch you next week. Thanks, Steve. We'll see everybody next week.
Thanks for joining us again this week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. If you have a gardening question you'd like Steve to answer, just email him at steve@naturesgreennursery.com and he'll answer it on a later show. Be sure to join us again next week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone.